Emily White, More About Archetypes, according to Carl Jung. Welcome to the session. And as I said before, I'll try to tie it in with what I said last week. But this is a continuation of what I talked about last week, but it's also an introduction to the concept of archetypes, which are images that appear in dreams that help us understand what's going on in the dream. Now, why are dreams important? I recommend this book by Morton Kelsey, Dreams, A Way to Listen to God. It's only $2.95. It's in the bookstore. You could tuck it in your pocket. And it says everything that I've been saying and more. Morton Kelsey is an author, poet, psychologist, teacher, and Episcopalian priest. And he's a Jungian, a follower of Jung. Jung never wanted anybody to be a Jungian. He wanted no disciples. He wanted you to understand what he said. But it is difficult sometimes to understand what he says because he wrote in German, and the translation is not always the best. So at the end of his life, he wrote this book, Man and His Symbols. The paperback is in the bookstore, and I recommend that you buy that too if you're interested. But this book by far will give you the essence of everything that I've been trying to cover. And it's very readable. Then there's Mary Schramm's book on Gifts of Grace, which is also in the bookstore, which takes off from where I've been talking. It doesn't talk about dreams, but it talks about gifts and wholeness and growing and giving and community. I recommend it very highly. Now, if you're a serious student of psychology and you really want to hear the last word on what Jungian psychology is all about, I recommend the last book I mentioned, Jungian Psychology in Perspective, which came out in 1981 and is written by a Jungian analyst in Minneapolis. I come from Minneapolis, and I could take orders for that book. But as I say, that's for the serious student. Do you mind moving up this way? It's hard for me to
see. I can hear you better over here.
You can? Okay, fine, okay. That's for the serious student of psychology, and but it's also easy to read. So much for the books on dreams and Jung's psychology. Carl Jung was a pioneer in formulating concepts, many of which you're familiar with, I'm sure, like extroversion, introversion. Tomorrow's session will be on extroversion and introversion, and I'll do a workshop so that in the meantime you can think about whether you're an extrovert or an introvert, and you'll be surprised because the common concept is quite different from what Jung talked about. He talked about psychic energy. We all have so much energy and how we use it, but I'll talk about that in the morning. Today I want to talk about the unconscious. And I'll keep repeating because the people are coming in and so forth. Jung postulated the collective unconscious as that part of the psyche which is not directly knowable. In some ways it's like Kant's noumenon. It's not knowable directly. You can only know it through dreams. And dreams are like a mirror or like an x-ray. So you go to your doctor and say, my leg hurts, and you're not sure if you sprained it or broke it, he will need an x-ray to make the diagnosis. Similarly, the therapist needs to have a dream so that he knows what's going on in your unconscious. You can tell him what's going on in your conscious life, but you cannot be aware of your unconscious until we look at a dream. So that's one reason why they're so important. Again, I recommend Morton Kelsey's book, Dreams, A Way to Listen to God. And among other things, he talks about the dreams in the Bible, and you know how important they are. In fact,
Joseph?
Among other things, yes. They are definitely used as ways in which God speaks to man, guides man. And one of the chief archetypes I'll be talking about is that of the wise old man and the wise old woman. They appear in different ways in dreams, and I'll talk about that in more detail. And what they say is usually some wisdom that you need to know or some warning that you need to heed. And often they're repeated until you're assimilated into your consciousness. Once you become aware of what's going on in your dreams and are conscious of it, the energy can be used creatively, or you can change your life, and this particular theme will not reoccur, usually. Just a few minutes ago, a gentleman came to me and said, he said I could quote this, so I will, that he had headaches until 2 o'clock every day, until he had a certain dream. After he had this dream, it processed it, and he no longer had the headaches. Is that right? For me, it has been a 20-year task to look at my dreams, and I have tabulated them and analyzed them with the help of an analyst. In order to do therapy, you have to go to an analyst yourself. And I've become aware of my own shadow, which is the dark side that we all carry around in ourselves. And the shadow is that part which we don't want to recognize and almost can't recognize except in dreams. Shadow is the first thing that you have to begin to integrate to your consciousness so that it doesn't attack you unawares. In Christian theology, we talk of the dark side as the devil, and we project it outward, but we all have a lot of this darkness in ourselves. And I'll talk about that too, I think, more on Saturday. Okay, what are archetypes now? They're images or predispositions that appear in dreams that arise autonomously, independently, out of the unconscious. And they are people, personifications like the wise old man, the wise old woman, the hero, the great mother, the father, the hero, I've said that already, priest, animals, helpful animals, scary animals, snakes, dragons. They can take the form of geometric figures, of which I've put on just a few, the circle, the cross, pyramid, and forms in nature, that's the third point, forms in nature, the four elements, earth, fire, and water, the sun, the moon, the stars, when you dream of those, they will have specific meanings. The most important aspect here is to remember that Jung did not have any fixed meaning for symbols or archetypes, that they have to be individual, they have to have a meaning for you as an individual, so that not every cave represents a womb or every pole a phallus, as Freud said. Freud gave specific, universal sexual meanings to the symbols that appear in dreams, whereas Jung said, tell me what this means, and had the person associate, free associate to the things that, to the symbols that appeared in dreams, so that they had meaning for this person specifically. When you dream of various paths in a dream that often showed the way, path of individuation, which is another term that Jung coined. An automobile or the means of transportation often speak of the way that you're going, of the ego. If your car runs out of gas, it obviously means that you're sort of running out of gas or energy. If you're trying to go right and the car insists on going left, it may indicate that you're out of control. If you're flying, it may mean that you're up above and you can look down, that you're rising above the situation. If you crash, I'm afraid there's a lot of anxiety. They are not premonitions, but they are indications of anxiety or warnings. Fire, for example, would be anxiety. The house often represents the total psyche of the person. So that if you're opening a closed door and you find a beautiful room that you have never noticed before, what do you think it means? New possibilities that you just hadn't seen before. And in most dreams, when there is a severe conflict between two opposing forces, if you analyze the dream carefully, it will usually have the seeds of the solution in this conflict, within the conflict. In my own practice, I try to help people to look at dreams in such a way that they learn to analyze them themselves, so that towards the end they will bring in a dream. And I deal mostly with people who are already interested in keeping a dream journal. They will bring in a dream and I will help them. They will tell me what they think it means and I will add to it. You know, so it's a growth process in our relationship as well. It's not all that difficult, and most of the time when people speak to me of their dreams, they really know what they mean already. Certainly the big dreams, the ones that you remember easily without even writing them down, are usually strange and numinous and overwhelming and leave you with a feeling of awe. Many other dreams are just processing the day's events or the anxieties of the future. And as I said to another session, before my daughter got married out on a farm, and I was rather anxious, I had a series of dreams of meeting people I don't know where to take me, I don't know where. And it was very tiring. I woke up quite tired. But this was a kind of processing of this anxiety. On the other hand, I had many dreams that are big dreams, and I will mention a few later, which helped me change the whole direction of my life. So, archetypes are symbols that arise from the unconscious and are meaningful specifically to you as an individual, but are universal in that all humanity has had ideas and images of the Great Mother, for example. But how this Great Mother will appear to you and to you and to you is quite individual. Also culturally different. Would appear different to an Indian, American Indian, to an Indian Indian, and to a white person. But the archetype, like the crystal structure, is universal. Another way of looking at it, archetypes, is they're similar to instincts. Both instincts and archetypes are not readily perceived, just as when you see a rainbow, a spectrum, the infrared would be the instincts and the ultraviolet would be the archetypes. They're very real, but they're not visible to the eye. So if you think of it in those terms, not everything that exists is palpable, but especially when you deal with dreams, the symbols are very real, but there's nothing you can touch or feel. How many of you here remember your dreams? Well, pretty good. It is really important and advisable to try to keep track of dreams, and you do this mostly by waking up slowly or allowing yourself just a little space of time upon awakening so that you can go backwards into your... Just let you keep your eyes closed and go backwards so that the dream can surface. Then you write it down quickly. You don't have to look at it again for a long time. If you are the kind of person who just naturally jumps right out of bed and thinks forward and considers dreams sort of ephemeral, and you aren't really in great conflict, or you really don't need to hear the messages, I suppose you don't have to remember the dream unless you have to hear the message. And when you have to hear the message, you will hear it. Or when, to use this term, when God wants to speak to you and give you a warning or some wisdom, you will hear it. Any questions so far?
What happens if you don't dream but you fantasize a lot?
Well, that's pretty good. I mean,
Easier to remember.
Fantasies are somewhere in between. They're more under your control of the conscious mind, and they're more motivated by wish fulfillment, you see. So that
I'm a manic depressive. Does that make a difference? I know the description of them.
Oh.
Mania phase says you do a lot of that.
Well, I think there's a different... just very briefly, in the top of my head, is just... In the manic phase, your energy is just going poof! And then too much goes out, so then there has to be a compensation.
I'm on lithium now.
Oh, I see. Well, that's helpful. But in general, psychic energy has to be budgeted, just about like you budget money. In fact, in dreams, when you dream of money, it often is symbolic of energy, psychic energy. When you get a bargain in a dream, it's not all that good, because you're paying less, you're giving less energy than it's worth. It's just the reverse. Now, if you find a treasure, that's another story. That's really good. And in general, the dreams are compensations for what you are doing in your waking life. And that gets a little complicated, but it's sort of like the opposite. If you're really down and depressed, you might dream of very wonderful things that are happening to you, or that new possibilities that you're not yet aware of. Similarly, when you're maybe on a very good, in a very good place, you might get a warning of some dangers that are ahead without it being prophetic. And I have to say a word about extrasensory perception. It's a special gift. It's a sort of like musical ability. It's rather rare. If you have it, then dreams are certainly the best means by which you could experience this, though some people experience it even without dreams. I'm not that interested in that very specialized area. I'm more interested in ordinary dreams that you and I would have, and the way that certain dreams seem definitely to be a voice that comes from another realm, if you will, God speaking to you through dreams. How does that all sit with you? Any questions? The dinner must have been real good. Yes?
If you're just about to drop off to sleep, your eyes are closed, and a lot of images pass in front of your mind, people, places, and just different scenes, what kind of activity is that?
Jung has a term for that. He calls that hypnagogic images. And that's sort of an in-between state. You're not quite awake, you're not quite asleep. And they're quite valuable. You can do this consciously by having active imagination. Say you've had a dream that ends without a resolution. You can sort of go back in the dream in a sort of meditative state and engage the people in the dream in a conversation, or let the images rise similarly to the way you just before you fall asleep. And so this is called active imagination. That's another way of coming in contact with important symbols and aspects of your unconscious. Any other questions at the moment? Yeah.
Is there a way a person can sort of train themselves so they can start remembering dreams if you don't remember them?
Yes. I think it's very helpful to go to sleep with the intention saying, I will remember them, and having that little pencil and paper near your bed, and mostly not opening your eyes till you have at least taken an inventory and said, do I remember anything? And if you remember as little as a single image, it could be a healing symbol, and it could be just really important. I had one where I was exchanging a bus token for money. And that tied in with a whole thing of experiencing a lot of anger in Wenatchee when we were changing from the bus to the other bus. when I was in that grocery store and right next to it is that video game where the young kids play 24 hours a day. And so how can these people, these young people, do this? And there was a big sign, don't use quarters, buy tokens, you see. So that's where that tied in. And all it was just that little snippet. I needed my husband to help me figure that one out. Yeah.
The way you wake up important is if you wake up to an alarm clock and just bolt awake. And is it better not to wake up to a loud alarm clock to try to
wake up to music? It depends, yeah. I think you have to work it out for yourself. The important thing is not to bolt up into your waking life, but to stay asleep. You can quickly turn off the alarm.
How do you relate stress to dreams? 80% of all hospitalizations are stress.
Mm-hmm. Well, stress in dreams or anxiety is often, like as I said, fire or any danger. Now here I said, at this point here I had spiral and explosion. Mm-hmm. Explosions in dreams often mean a sudden transformation of energy. And in many cases you could see transformations occurring in dreams. That's the fourth point here. And Jung went into alchemy and he thought that it was very important to make the analogy between the process of alchemy, of changing lead into gold, or trying to do so, and the process of transformation that he saw in dreams. It's much too technical to go into here, but you've all heard of sublimation, where you take a certain instinct or drive and sublimate it. Freud spoke a lot of sublimating sex into art, for example. Or so similarly, psychic energy can be taken from and sublimated, rarefied, changed direction. And how you channel your anger, for example, is a form of sublimation in a way. Why it is important to remember dreams is what I mentioned earlier. We need to become aware of that part of our psyche that is larger than our little ego, which is just the conscious part of ourselves. But that does not mean that we should spend all our time looking at dreams and forget about reality and reality orientation. We have to live in this world, but we should be aware, must be aware, if we want to become whole, of that other reality which we can know through dreams. Someone once said to me, it's okay to look in the rear view mirror when you're driving, but if that's all you do, you're going to crash pretty soon. And looking at your dreams is sort of like looking into the rear view mirror. Yes?
What's an indication of when your dreams are the same as your waking life, the same events?
Oh, you're saying what is it?
What does it mean?
What does it mean when the dreams are much like your waking life? Well, I think I said those are sort of processing dreams, where you sort of process what's been going on. And I'd say 60 to 80% of all dreams are processing. The busier you are, the more pressure on you, the more likely you'll have to process the dreams over and process the waking life over and over again. Because one of the functions of dreams is to keep you sane. We all dream 4 and 5 times a night. And in that period, the eyes move rapidly and there are all these visual images. And it's almost like a cleansing. Now, if people are awakened at the time that they're dreaming, has nothing to do whether they remember them or not, they're awakened consistently, then they begin to become disoriented, even psychotic. And in hospitals, unwittingly, with the best of intentions, people are awakened or kept from sleeping through the night, thus having their dream experiences, because they have to get the medication and the blood pressure and so forth. And so people often get quite disoriented, which is very disconcerting and needs to be kept in mind.
I think I read somewhere that it's important to not pay too much attention to individual dreams, but to watch for patterns or sequences, recurring. What do you
say about that? We're talking about to pay attention to the patterns and sequences of dreams. As I indicated, I have kept track over 20 years of my dreams, and I can definitely see patterns and almost a golden thread or a red thread going through the dreams, and that it takes quite a while between a significant dream and the ability to incorporate that in your behavior and change your behavior. An example, two examples from my dreams. In one dream, losing my voice again. In one dream, I meet a cardinal as I'm walking up the stairs, and the cardinal, very awesome, is coming down to meet me, and I curtsy. He says, "What is your name?" I say, "Emily White." He says, "Why haven't I heard from you before?" Well, it's pretty obvious, isn't it? The cardinal represents the wise old man, and he's saying, I haven't been paying attention to him. Where have you been? What have you been doing?" You see? That's one example. That's not as clear as the other example where my priest, I should preface this. I don't like to cook. I have many gifts. I don't like to cook. I don't like to do housework. In this dream, my priest came into my kitchen, very gently took my hand and moved it in a circle and said, "You must work with love and thanksgiving. Without anger is not enough." And I woke up, oh, what a wonderful dream. Went to the kitchen, "Without anger is not enough." It took me 10 years to really do it slowly and with joy. But that was sort of a key dream. Anyone else here? Anyone here have a sort of key dream like that? In another session, I would like you all to come and share dreams.
How much does communication, conversation during the day have to do with your dreams at night?
Whatever you dream about and remember has some meaning. Jung said, there's almost no dream that doesn't have meaning if you dig deep enough. But most of us don't have the patience to go into every fragment of a dream. So, yes? Well, I can't say whether it's usual or unusual, but it's probably significant that they don't. Are they sinister, or?
Sometimes there are, the people that I'm with every day in the dream, but there's always people that have no face.
Well, they're probably anonymous.
Related to that, perhaps I had the experience of dreaming as one person, and then yet it's someone else. It might be seem like it's my sister, and yet it's someone I'm working with, and that they figures kind of overlap.
Yeah, you're saying that sometimes it's your sister, and sometimes it's somebody you're working with, and the figures overlap.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes a person we know stands for someone else, but most often, the person you dream of is part of your psyche. And there are exceptions, but by and large, certain people, as you get to know your own dreams, certain people will stand for certain figures, certain archetypes. And rarely, except perhaps your spouse and your own children, are they the real people. Even they stand for aspects of your own self if you go deep enough. And I'm sort of fascinated by this because as I look at my dreams, I see that certain teachers and certain people stood for certain aspects of myself. And when you embrace someone, especially if it's someone of the same sex, it doesn't mean anything sexual. It means that you want to take the aspect, something of their personality into yourself, that you usually admire them or love them greatly and want to take or identify with that person. So don't be overwhelmed if you dream of embracing either sex. If you dream of death, of yourself or someone else, again, it may mean that you have to let go of that person, or that you have to let an aspect of yourself die. Just as a plant has to wither before it can bring new growth, the leaves have to fall down and fall in autumn before you can have the spring. So parts of yourself have to die before something new can grow. So you don't have to be terribly scared if you dream of death, some death.
Yeah. Does anyone ever experience eating and tasting in their dreams?
Does anyone ever experience eating and tasting in dreams? Anyone here? Dorothy? Yeah, Dorothy has. I think eating is a very common thing. Whether you actually taste the food, I think would... That's
usually when I've gone to bed hungry.
Uh-huh. Usually when she's gone to bed hungry, yeah. I'm sure it's often with your restricted diet. Yeah.
How about nightmares?
Uh-huh. Nightmares. Well, they're...
That's all we talk about.
Yeah. They're the things that you remember, that you're scared by, and they usually have some kind of... They're all of anxiety or warning, but they're not the same as night terrors. Night terrors, where people speak and walk, that's a physiological thing that hasn't... It's not the same as a bad dream, and there's a fine line that divides the two, and it's hard to know. But nightmares often... What we call nightmares are anxiety dreams, usually. And we have to process anxiety just as we have to process our daily events.
Is sleepwalking a dream?
No, it's a physiological thing that I don't know much about and don't really care to go into. Excuse me. Yeah?
Can you generalize why it's helpful to analyze dreams? Are you looking at unknown motivations or unknown desires that is then later helpful in your waking life to understand and know? Can you generalize about that?
Can I generalize about why it is important to analyze dreams? Is that what you said? Well, I thought I was saying this all along.
I see some examples, but for me it's not clear.
Oh. You want an abstract generalization?
Yeah, in other words, why would you advise us as untutored people in this area to undertake to analyze our dreams? What goals would you have for us? What could you promise as an outcome of that?
Well, as I said, dreams contain warnings and wisdom. That's in a nutshell. Warnings and wisdom. Or wisdom and warnings. Yeah. And that, as I said, was a dream in the kitchen. I guess I needed to change my way of doing things in the kitchen. I really needed to, but the dream helped me know that what I had to do and sort of how to do it. And because I admire our priest very much, I was more motivated to do something than if I just tried to do it without the wisdom of the dream.
Is a vision a dream or...?
No, a vision is a vision is related, but it's different. Okay, anybody else have questions up there?
I've got a question.
Yeah?
What about the child that has a dream? Like the last dream I can remember was when I was a child, and all the others, if I had them, I can't remember. Does that have any significance to know what you dreamed as a child?
Well, since the only dream you remember was that when you were a child, I suppose that's the one that's important to you, you see. Just turn it around. Mm-hmm. I think, as I said before, all dreams, if you look at them long enough and analyze them, they have meaning. All dreams have meaning. But just what meaning depends on your individual life situation. That's why it's difficult to generalize, Stan. Because Jung's great contribution is that you cannot generalize for everybody. Though I have said fire is usually anxiety. Let's say you're a fireman. You've just put out a 4-alarm fire. Does that mean you're anxious? Yeah, probably you were somewhat anxious. But it's a processing dream for the fireman, you see. But for you, it would be anxiety. Unless you're a fireman.
Yes? I guess I'm not talking about analyzing symbols. I'm trying to understand why you want to analyze dreams. I can understand maybe the cardinal was telling you, Emily, you should be a better housekeeper and work better in the kitchen. Are you saying then that generally, if we analyze our dreams, we can get directions from cardinal types in our life to help us live better lives after 10 years of struggling, whatever, to be better, whatever we need to be better at? Is that a generalization?
Yeah, it's a generalization that maybe Kathleen can put it in words, yes?
Could you say something about psychic energy?
Yeah, I will. Okay, I thought you were going to answer him.
Well, I think that's a part of the answer, at least a few dreams that I have had, that I have taken as warnings, have given me more energy to do what
Very good point, thank you.
Needed to be done, and it's something I don't know if I can explain it, just
Okay, the reason it's important is that the dream will release psychic energy in the process of becoming conscious. And that's part of that alchemical process here, number four that I talk about. In becoming aware of what the meaning of the dream is, you say, aha, and there's a lot of energy available. And it's no longer locked in the psyche. And theoretically, all energy of the unconscious should be at your disposition. We use about 10% of psychic energy most of the time. And only the shadow cannot be sublimated. The shadow is the only aspect of the psyche that has to be accepted. The shadow is the only part, the darkness, that one part of darkness, the only thing that you have to accept. You say, okay, that's what I have to live with. But everything else, theoretically at least, with enough analysis and help and whatnot, or patience, can be sublimated so that the energy is available for creative, social work. Does that help?
A bit, yes.
All right.
What type of people
Excuse me,
some of my dreams are so wild I couldn't put them together, and I don't think you could either.
Well,
my question is, if I don't evaluate my dreams and I just let them go without, considering, then what effect will that have on me? Will I be
That's what Stan is asking too. If you don't analyze your dreams, what will be the effect? Will it be a bad effect? No, the dreams are such, and I said here, they will rise autonomously. When something needs to be heard, it will bring a big dream, and willy-nilly you'll remember it. All I'm saying is, if you're more interested in a finer tuning and getting energy released, not waiting for that big dream that'll knock your... What is the image I'm using? That'll just overwhelm you. Then you should analyze and be aware of dreams as they go along. But if you don't, there aren't going to be any bad effects, because the big dreams will come and you will remember them anyhow, the ones you need to hear, you see. So, and the fact that they're not rational, that they're crazy, silly, stupid, don't make sense, that's part of the dream, because time has no meaning. Forward and backwards has no meaning. Up and down has some meaning, perhaps, though I doubt even that. And they're kind of like an absurd comedy. Maybe Albie got his ideas from dreams, I don't know. They're sort of like Waiting for Godot or whatever.
Yeah.
They're real crazy. But when you're trained, you begin to know how to make sense out of it.
Well, for about 10 years after I finished junior college, I kept dreaming I was failing history. The same professor, and I was still failing. Well, I didn't fail when I was in school, but it kept coming back.
Mm-hmm.
I should have stopped analyzing. Huh?
Well, we could talk about it later.
Yeah.
All right. There was somebody else here.
Well, what she said reminded me, all my years of teaching, and since I'm retired, I would have dreams in which kids were jumping over chairs, and I was having a program, and I didn't know when anybody was going to sing or anything, over and over. But they always happened when those dreams always came when I was not actively teaching. It would be during vacation sometime. I had to make it to that.
Well,
because I knew I was in control of my teaching, because I thought I wasn't.
I didn't hear the last bit.
Well, I couldn't decide. It was because when I was actively teaching, I knew those things didn't happen, or whether I was always afraid they would, and so when I wasn't.
Oh. Okay, this is a real important point. When you were on vacation, you were not under the daily pressure of teaching, so anxieties, fears, and whatever could rise. Just as when you come to Holden, you may be surprised that you have kind of violent dreams, or dreams that are quite unacceptable, because you don't have the usual responsibilities. You're more sort of freer to, and if you're listening. So it'd be kind of interesting. I had the most violent dream I ever had first time I came to Holden, so I was kind of surprised. That may be it. And the other part is that all dreams are compensatory, and so when you dream of those terrible things happening, they're precisely the other side of what really is happening in life.
Do you have nightmares that are apparently caused by indigestion? Or
well, that's an old wives' tale.
Do they need anything?
I don't know. Some people say they dream when they remember their dreams when they eat, others when they don't eat, like Dorothy, she remembers when she's hungry. And I can't generalize, no, I can't. But it's, well, let's see, we have about 10 more minutes, so. Do you have quarter to?
Yeah.
Eight?
No.
Let's see.
Well, you have, well, I like doing what I'm doing, and mm-hmm. I feel confident what I'm doing, and I've been a teacher and confident that, and I feel very close to God. And my life is really quite nice for me. And I have this terrible dream that I'm just sinking, and I can't get over anything, and it goes on and on. I never get bottom.
You never get what?
I never get bottom.
Uh-huh.
And it shakes me for a couple of days. I mean, it's so real. It's just like, there's nothing I can do or nothing I can say, or I'm totally lost.
Yeah, well, again, see, the dream compensates for a very nice reality, and the very fact that you're able to remember it means that you can admit that there's a side part of you that may be your shadow. Mm-hmm. Well, you just have to accept the fact that there's some things you can't control, some things that are full of anxiety.
But what could they be? Because I'm not aware of what they
I don't know your life. We can talk about it later, okay?
Okay, I'd like to.
All right.
Because that's bothering
me. Yeah, okay. I was going to ask this earlier. What kind of people use more than 10% of the psychic energy when they're awake then?
Artists, I guess.
Artists?
Of course, I'm prejudiced in favor of artists.
Uh-huh.
I think anyone who is happy in their work and using, just as aware of using their energy, I don't know. Who jogs every day? I don't know. I use that analogy because Stan was asking why we should listen to analyze dreams, because the main purpose then is to release energy. Also to gain an understanding. Freud said, and not everything Freud said is terrible, where id was, there shall ego be. Where there was unconsciousness shall be consciousness. And the task in life is to bring the unconscious into consciousness. There's a lot of wisdom in there.
Do most professionals still use that id ego thing as being real? I don't know.
It's a nice phrase that helps clarify for me.
It makes sense.
Yeah. So when you go away from here, I would like two things. One, that you know who Carl Jung was, and don't call him Jung, please. And that you are a little bit cognizant of what archetypes are, that they're not architects. Somebody at supper asked me why I was talking about architects, so I don't pronounce it too well. Just one more question, I think, then we need to go over to Vespers. Yeah?
Is psychic energy released when you bring from the unconscious to the conscious?
Yes.
And you're processing what?
Whatever you bring up from the unconscious and become aware of, especially in this aha experience, when you see a new connection, you can almost feel the energy released. And if you don't feel it, you'll be surprised how when you come to some point that, as in my kitchen dream, you know, suddenly there was energy to do it. Not suddenly, gradually. But it does happen. One more real important point, if you're dreaming of going in one direction and having to make a detour or a U-turn, it's so obvious, but it's really what it says, to change your life. It's similar to metanoia, to repent, change your direction in life. Welcome to the session, Mr. White. No, we just...
Same way?
What?
That's same my, way as you?
Yeah. My prominent dreamer, he never paid attention to his dreams. Jim, come tell us a dream, quick. Rescue the situation. All right, no, you don't have to because we have to go over to Vespers. But he never paid much attention to dreams, and then I sort of got him interested. And now he's been reams and reams and reams. I can't talk to him for 20 minutes in the morning because he has to write down his dream. So you see, you don't always win. And then he reads the paper. And then he goes to the office. Then he comes home, he's tired. But maybe by evening time we have 5 minutes. Now we get along pretty well. Thank you all.